There you are. Oh, yep.
Yeah. God, thank God.
Top of the priority.
I'm at the next to the door.
It's almost
real. Yeah.
One of the problems.
Missed you last week.
Yeah, you know, I was at up in North Coast.
I didn't miss much.
I was running some other meetings. So I was in Astoria. We got back about 1 morning. It was a long day. So while you were here, I was at another meeting in Astoria.
Oh, man. Did you have to drive back?
No, I carpooled with Don. You know, I don't know.
This meeting of the Budget Committee for the City of Newport will come to order. Please take your seats. Is there anyone here who is registered for public comment? Very good. The first item on the agenda is going to be added. David Allen sent a memo to the David Marshall in regards to the 3% increase in water rates and the 5% increase in wastewater rates. And it was a good question to ask. So, David, you're on. In reference to this memo, you said David's on, and then this David to answer.
How many other Davids are there? Just us.
Enough.
There's enough, David.
More than enough.
David actually did have a chance to reply to me, and he CC'd Jim, but I didn't have a chance to forward it. But my question this morning, or last night as I was looking through the materials, was, in Friday's News Times, there was an article on the budget, kind of an overview, and in there it did indicate or reported that with respect to the new water tank in Agate Beach that's going to be designed and built next year or in the following years, it was indicated that there were plans to use $300,000 from the water rate increase to design that storage tank. I wasn't at the meeting last week, so I wasn't sure what was discussed, but my question was, in light of that article on Friday, in the budget message, at the bottom of page 2, it indicated that the storage tank was going to be funded through a $400,000 capital improvement surcharge in the wastewater fund. So that was my question. One of them was, there seemed to be a difference as far as where the money was coming from. And that's my first question. The second question was, if the money is in fact coming out of the wastewater fund as indicated in the budget message, can you explain why we're using funds from the wastewater fund for purposes of a water storage tank? It seems to me that would be coming out of the water fund. So just like to get some clarity on those two issues. And thirdly, last month at a Newport City Council meeting, I think on April 4th, that meeting, I had asked the question about how was the storage tank going to be funded. And I specifically asked, was that going to be funded through any water or wastewater rate increases? I think at that time, Jim, you indicated it wasn't, you hadn't decided that yet. So I think between last April 4th and now, that decision was made, it was put into the proposed budget. So before I make any decisions on the budget, I'd like to get some clarity on that issue, because that is an important issue given what happened last year with the water treatment plan and that whole funding issue.
So thank you. All right.
Let me take the first crack at it. To address your first question, a 3% rate increase in the water rate will generate about $58,000. The design for the water tank is about $180,000. So we'll use...
We've already spent 40.
But anyways, the money will go in, the increase will go into the water fund. We do anticipate some increases in electrical costs, material costs. So the funding for the water tank, the design of it, we want to take out of this year's budget. And so we're going to be using, you know, part of the increase, part of our reserves to fund the design.
We're showing the funding for the design of the water tank being utilized in water SDCs. It's eligible for SDCs. And so at this point, the only money that we're budgeting toward that design is from water SDCs, not from the water fund at all.
So
the plant is a growth
okay.
driven infrastructure, and so it's eligible for SDC.
Okay. So that clarifies what was reported in the News Times article. My next question is, at the bottom of page 2 of the budget message, can you explain why we're utilizing money out of the wastewater fund for the storage tank, or is that just a typo or a clerical error?
My understanding is that the capital improvement fee that is for water or wastewater is actually tied to the funding comes into the wastewater plant, but or wastewater fund, but it is eligible for either water or wastewater. So it's just that $5
right.
additional capital fee that
we infrastructure fee.
The infrastructure fee that we're going to use to help pay for the actual construction the following year.
Well, can I, maybe not this meeting, but I would like some clarity on that, because whatever, I'm not sure when that wastewater surcharge was approved. I wasn't on the council. That was a couple years ago, a few years ago. I wouldn't mind getting the motion or resolution that approved that, because I just want to make sure that if we approved it and we're putting money in the wastewater fund for that surcharge, we're actually able to use it for water purposes, at least as currently kind of in place, because the language that the city council used in adopting that surcharge is going to be critical to determining whether we can use that for water purposes. Because I think what you said, Jim, is we can use it for either. But that money, from my understanding, has always been put into the wastewater fund for wastewater-related issues. Now I'm hearing it can be used for water issues. Maybe that's the case, but I just want to make sure that whatever the council approved and the language that was used in approving that surcharge is consistent with how we're using the money right now. I think that's an important issue, because it gets to making sure we're utilizing money consistent with what was put in place as a policy decision.
Now, this is a corollary to all of this discussion, but back on November 1st and 2nd, we identified at the time that the wastewater fund may well be loaning $750,000 to the water fund for the completion of any overruns that might occur with the water treatment plant, and that at the time, it was just simply implied or not that there may be other internal loans. Since that time, I've got to be for the design of the water storage tank in addition, because we knew at the time that there was no money identified at all for the extra $1.8 million or whatever it would be for the water storage tank. In the proposed budget, we have identified, and I've got it on the pink sheet, which means it doesn't have a page, but in the wastewater fund in cost center 4590, there's roughly $210,000 identified as, I'll call it, seed money for $400,000 per year for Agate Beach water storage tank.
What page is that, Dave?
It's roughly page 73.
Okay.
If you look there, reserve for future capital was $209,000 item.
Right.
What we've identified for some time, since the first proposed budget 2 weeks ago tonight, was that the wastewater fund, one way or another, has been identified to support the effort of the water fund because it is a more robust fund.
Okay.
But at that time, we also said that both the water fund and the wastewater fund are looking healthier than we originally thought last November, and so there wasn't a final identification of either the coverage of the water treatment plant overrun, if any, or the design and construction of the water storage tank.
Okay. Well, that's important, David. I'm not sure how much you went through the wastewater and water funds last week. You did go through them?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess my question is, you said loaning money. So to me, there's a difference between the wastewater fund loaning money to the water fund and getting paid back versus the wastewater fund giving money towards a water purpose, because in the first instance, getting the money back means it's not specifically being utilized for water purposes, it's just kind of temporarily loaning money. But if wastewater fund money through that surcharge is being used for purposes of funding the water storage tank without any anticipation of that fund being paid back, then again, I'd like to see if the language that created that surcharge is consistent with using it for that purpose.
And you're absolutely correct. It's just that I don't think we have formalized anything to that extent. Certainly some of this money has already been identified in the Capital Projects Fund, which we'll identify tonight, or we'll discuss tonight. And the loan, if any, was always identified from the wastewater fund to the water plant for any overruns that might occur. But you're right. If it's not a loan or it's not something like that,
right,
there wouldn't be an issue just can we formally do it. There's no question about
that. So at the bottom of page 2 on the budget message where it says money from the wastewater fund will be used towards the storage tank, there should have probably been language in there about it being loaned and then paid back at some point in the future?
If you're identifying something besides that $400,000 surcharge, which seems to be an issue.
Well, that's actually what's in the budget message. I'm only repeating what's in the budget message.
Yes, and if you're talking about something from out of contingency or some reserve out of the wastewater fund, it probably should have, yes.
Okay.
Should have said a loan, because that's all we've ever talked about was a loan.
Okay. Well, that clarifies it then. If it's for a loan, then I guess it's still important. I'd like to still see that language that created the surcharge, but I think that makes it more plausible if you're just loaning the money with anticipation of getting it paid back.
I think that was the intent.
Okay.
Thank you. Let's go to the room tax analysis and discussion. Who's going to handle that one? You're up. Boy, you've got a smile on your face. This must be good.
Oh, this has lots of
paper. Oh, more paper. All right.
I'm sorry, there's no cover page or anything. It's about 9.5 minutes ago, as somebody noted. It's still warm. And it probably is still warm.
Yeah, the heat's coming up.
It's interesting what's come up. When it comes to discretionary funds, the room tax fund has more discretionary funds than the general fund. And so it makes it kind of interesting. I've got a few more. I know some people who would like this.
Yeah, if you have any extra, I'll take one. If you have extra, I'll take one.
Sorry, I'm not for the first slide. I've been doing that a lot.
Are you starting to make paper airplanes?
I should be a spy.
Stealth.
All right.
It's okay if I stand on this. I've been sitting for a long time. I tried to give a little history because, one, it's pretty new to me, and two, it might help identify at least some of the basic assumptions that go into the room tax fund and at the distribution of its proceeds. And so I went back to 2006, and normally I don't do that because anything before 2008 is ancient history. and the economy that's evolved since 2008. But in this case, I thought it would be helpful to do so. And so you can see that in the year column, what years we're talking about, and then in the budgeted revenue column, what was really budgeted and what was actually received. And you notice that in 2006, for example, that we received $72,000 roughly less than we budgeted. The next 2 years were relatively good. By that I mean we at least met the budgeted forecast. But notice what's happened in 2009, 2010, and as we're predicting in 2011. That's just to show the history. So there's only 1 year that we've even received over $2.3 million. And that was in 08 before the bottom really fell out or was falling out at the time. So the estimate for $2.3 million comes from the last 3 years' history, essentially. Mm-hmm. And right now, based upon our preliminary receipts for, we're always a month behind, for April, I'm not sure we're going to receive $2.27 million in room tax receipts this year. So at least for me, it's unusual to forecast $2.3 million when my best estimate is going to be short of $2.27. I'm not comfortable with that, but we used that number, and Jim and I, of course, have discovered it or discussed this at length. And so we're estimating $2.3 million, but I wanted to show you where it came from. I mean, this wasn't, let's just pull a number. It's based upon a history in which we've averaged about 2.25 to 2.28. And so is it unreasonable in this economy with gas prices and all the other things that you know about to estimate more than $2.3 million? And no, I don't think it is. On page two, then, again, this was more history for me, but it might help define a few things, which is, yeah, we have total room tax revenue, and we distribute 100% of it. By Oregon statute, we send 54% to general fund activities, not necessarily the general fund, but general fund activities, and we send 46% to, for lack of a better term, marketing and advertising and tourism. And you can see, though, the percentages don't change substantially across the individual funds or activities that this fund provides money for. There is some slight change. In other words, the 54-46 is a hard rule, Oregon statute. The distribution within that 54 and 46 isn't necessarily. And you see small differences there, but again, nothing really substantial. But we have the flexibility within the 54 and 46% to distribute pretty much the way we want to. There hasn't been a lot of variance, and that's what page two shows.
David, on the 54-46, is that we can't drop below the minimum of 46 going to tourism marketing?
No, for every $1,000, $460 will be sent to something that's identified.
And that's the minimum. We could be putting more in if we wanted.
That's a good question. I don't know what the statute says.
Yes, that is. We could be putting more.
Jim's not.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't even know that. And then page three is this year. Now, notice the budgeted amount of the room tax revenue is $2.3 million, and you know where we got that from. We took total general government of 54%, comes out to $1.242 million. And there are some things that cannot change. The room tax pays off the service fund, the 2007 bill cap, and the debt service portion of the debt service fund for the wastewater loan. And those amounts are pretty comparable to what we've done in the past. The general fund, and again, if you see, as Mr. Allen may well see, if you see some numbers that are not quite coherent, it's because we were just changing this. I ultimately, an hour ago, couldn't get this to balance. And so what had been a $600,000 transfer to the general fund is now the number you see there, about $567,000. The capital projects fund, and I may have told Tim this in an email, but I haven't been able to otherwise, had been reduced from $83,000 to $21,441, which could impact the capital projects fund, not substantially, in a way, because we have transferred about $11.5 million into capital projects, $83,000 originally from the room tax fund, and because of other balancing acts, basically, we couldn't do that. The airport fund in general fund transfers gets $187,000, as you see there, $187,500, and the Parks and Recreation Fund gets $231,000. That totals up then to the general government distribution of $1.242
million dollars. And again, there's nothing there that is substantially different from what we've done in the past. Total tourism then gets, if you take 46% of 2.3 million, it gets $1,058,000. The distribution, as it more or less appears in the budget, would show the airport fund receiving another $235,000. Now that's really airport operations and airport FBO, and that total of the two airport funds is what we discussed when we discussed the airport fund last week. But notice it's now distributed between tourism and general fund, where the budget document itself would not show that kind of division. Parks and Recreation Fund receives $17,187, but that is added to the Parks Fund up above, so you see about $248,000 there. And then, even though the Room Tax Fund doesn't give itself $805,000, it has $805,000 available for the various activities that the Room Tax Fund is primarily used for, and I've listed those off to the right. In other words, you see street lights. We actually pay some street lights bills for decorative lights and other lights that are identified specifically by the PUC for the Room Tax Fund. I don't have the history on that, Jim does. Community celebrations at $30,000, Chamber of Commerce at $176,000, excuse me, marketing at $200,000, discretionary is $125,000, and the discretionary is what hits the Room Tax Fund throughout the year when the City Council will say, let's pay that out of Room Tax. It may not be specifically identified in the budget as Project A or Project D, but it is something that comes up that meets the requirements for a tourism expenditure. And the City Council said, take that out of Room Tax. That would be generally out of something we just are labeling here as discretionary. Transit is $90,000, and Jim can explain that better than I can. OCCA, which I believe is the organization that runs the PAC and other responsibilities, and I'm sorry for my relative ignorance in this area, but I'm still learning this, is $110,000. I think normally we've had startup grants of about $25,000. That's identified there. We have a holiday celebration of $5,000. Now that is broken out and specifically identified. And so you can see that the $806,000, and of course you can see I've rounded all these numbers, the $806,000 correlates pretty closely with the $805,732 that's identified as the room tax expenditures essentially for tourism. You add those up, the $1,058,000 tourism, the $1,242,000 for general fund activities, and you come back to the $2.3 million. So are there any questions on this so far?
I have a comment here. It's nice to see street lights and community celebrations and Chamber of Commerce and marketing, discretionary, etc. We got a wonderful report from the OCCA this year. All the members of the Budget Committee and the Council received it via email, clearly identifying every single dollar that was received and how it was spent. We really need to get that from all of these groups. We really do. We're standing here, I don't know what in the world community celebrations where we should list them and identify what we do. Marketing. Who in the world is that? And what have they marketed for the $200,000? Chamber of Commerce, $176,000. Let's get a detailed report as to where that money went. Discretionary, whatever that is. That's going to be fun to see where that money goes. Transit made a nice report last year. We need to get a report every year. Startup grants. So in other words, I'm saying, as a budget committee, when somebody calls us up on the phone and says, hey, could you explain to me what startup grants the city of Newport, I haven't got a clue. So we all need information on that. So somehow we got to get, if these people are going to get the money, we're not arguing about the money. I'm sure it's well used. In fact, I think that we ought to switch the marketing and the Chamber of Commerce and give the Chamber of Commerce $200,000 and drop the marketing down to $176,000 because the Chamber of Commerce has an extra added burden. When all of those people come to town, they don't get support in that. But that's another issue. But I think that we ought to have reports on these as part of our budget. I don't know how the rest of you feel, but it's nice to know how the money is spent, especially if in the future we go to, let's say, certain nonprofits that we're going to help, etc. All of those things have to be clearly reported back to the Budget Committee and the city manager. He needs to have a list of where these funds go and how they're spent.
May I make a comment on that?
You betcha.
Unless we create a grant name, a project name, what we have in our present financial system does not lend itself to identification of revenue and the corresponding expenses. But let's say Dave Marshall wants a startup grant. We're going to call it Marshall A. That's the project name. Now, if we do that and say, Marshall, you've got $10,000, we can start tracking that by project. But that wouldn't be reported to the Budget Committee. It would be reported to the City Council at monthly meetings. You get a report probably, I mean, you could certainly have one.
Outstanding. But as long as it gets reported, we don't. The question is transparency. We talk about the word transparency all the time. When I looked at this, Don Mann was talking to me today, and he was mentioning one of these funds. I said, Don, I can't tell you where this money goes. I don't have a clue. But we ought to have a clue. And if it goes to the City Council, I'm sure there'll be somebody on the City Council with a good eye for our monies. So that's just a comment I have.
And that's fine. And what we ought to do, in my opinion, then, is when the City Council says, here's $10,000 for this effort, I should raise my hand, or the City Manager should raise his hand and says, how do we want to identify this? Because as soon as we create that project, we say $10,000 has been allocated for this. It's actually been given to them. There's $10,000 in revenue and the associated expenses. Right now, we can't do it. And so what happens is that you've got a hodgepodge of expenditures that show up in common accounts that really can't be broken out, and it's not a good way of tracking those kind of expenses. We have, however, as Tim well knows and Lee well knows, we have started identifying capital construction projects. It's just as easy to identify grants or anything else. They're much smaller, but without that locking and the linking of revenue and expenses, we couldn't give you a report a year from now. The intent is to do just what you say.
Does anybody on the committees know who the marketing group is that markets us?
Destination Import Committee.
We know that, but I mean, I'm just asking the people on the group. What have they marketed? What have they done? How do we find that out?
There's two contracts for marketing for Newport. The Chamber of Commerce has one, and Destination Newport has the other. Destination Newport puts into place TV, radio, billboard, and other forms of media. And then all of the information in that contact, such and such number, or contact via email, that goes back to the chamber. So what we provide is a response to all of that advertising and marketing. And further, what we provide is the face-to-face and the relationship building that an agency or a contract manager could not provide for what we're able to do it. As well, we leverage almost as much of our chamber money towards our contracts. So you don't just give us $176,000 and that's the end of the day. We invest about another $150,000 of our own. And each year we do demonstrate to council a breakdown of the allocation of the funds, showing not only what the chamber does, but what part of our funding mechanism is put into place to help the program be complete.
I don't know what kind of a hit the marketing group would take if we just reverse those and gave the chamber $200,000, because I'm well aware of the fact of the chamber report and how they report they're handling their money. I haven't seen a doggone thing from this marketing group, Destination Newport. Has anybody seen anything reporting the use of the funds and who's...
They report regularly to the council.
Pardon?
And they report regularly to the council when we approve the funding. I'm on that committee, and Ms. Leigh is on, and Jim's there as well.
Can you tell me a little bit about those funds and where they're spent?
Well, like she said, the billboards.
We just what billboard?
We just spent, what, about $90,000?
Yeah, we'd like to know, you know what I mean?
We have 28 billboards currently in place in the Eugene, Corvallis, Albany, and Junction City area. We have one going up on July 1 and I-5. So that has been part of it. We also had a contract with an agency, Great Britain, so some of the funding goes to actually pay for agency services for them to create artwork and help us with things like that. There was a new RFP out for that contract management, and the committee has not reached a conclusion on what we're going to do as far as whether we hire someone or go alone as a committee. But last fall, for instance, we had a radio campaign. It was about $36,000 that was in the Portland area. When you end up looking for the return on the investment or the statistics on that, sometimes these campaigns are not a call to action, but rather to keep Newport at the top of mind. So there's not any general specific numbers that can be tied to it, unless it's contest related, where they have to actually phone in. The Chamber of Commerce keeps vast visitor statistics as far as calls, emails, responses. We can always tend to see where we're trending higher when there's a program in place. And then we commission a report called the Dean Grundy Report to help support that spending, to show how much visitor spending has occurred in what kind of segment in Newport. And for instance, our newest report for 2010 looks like visitor spending in Newport specifically went up to $122.7 million, and that's up about $2 million from 2009 figures. And we have it all, and you are more than welcome to look at it. I can email everybody the reports if they'd like, but we do an exhaustive report.
As long as it is reported to the City Council, as long as you're finding out where this money goes, that's my point. We need to emphasize then that these monies need to be accountable and accounted to the city manager and to the council. That's all I'm concerned about.
And I agree with you on, it's nice to have it broken out. I think David is working on that. Of course, the system has been messed up before he got here. But I think he's working on that, where we will probably a year from now, that'll be different, where we can say, where are that $200,000 going to be able to tell.
Good. Point's been made. Yes.
Well, I know, David, you're working on that, but I'm kind of looking at, even though we're getting the information as a budget committee, I kind of look at these budget documents as kind of a window into how the city operates. And I think it's important for the public to at least be able to decipher some of what's in the budget document, because really it's the taxpayer dollars that we're spending right now or appropriating. So I'm thinking that when you have these budget line items that are somewhat vague for the reasons that you mentioned, is there any way in the budget document for you to put like an asterisk, so you have like at the bottom of the page kind of note one, note two, that further delineates what that budget line item is, so you're not kind of running into those cost center issues with respect to a budget line item, but you're providing kind of a secondary piece of information for the user of that document to see on that page, like as a footnote, what it actually means when they look at a particular budget line item. I think you can do that without having to worry about changing all those cost centers or running into that issue, because really this budget document is not only for your purpose and our purpose. I kind of look at these budget documents as, again, another source of information for the public to go to see how the city operates and how they're spending money. And I think they should probably get as much information as possible within the parameters you've outlined.
And even just adding a page to the back of this one, you have $235,000 going to the airport fund, and I'm not doubting that every dollar of that is well spent. I'd just like to know how it's spent. So, you could have on the back page airport fund and have a list, not toilet paper and things like that, but I'm talking about general concepts. City celebrations. Somebody asked, what city celebrations? Just a little list, a simple little accounting. There's a way to do it. We just have to figure it out. More work for you. Wow.
Well, it's fairly straightforward. I would take issue with Councilor Allen's suggestion on asterisks. There would be dozens of pages of asterisks. Just to give you an indication, that revenue matrix, and revenue is by far the smallest portion of this. The budget document should, in my opinion, should summarize your major expenditure categories. By that I mean consumable supplies, non-consumable supplies, professional services, property services, and in each of those you can have between 10 and 20 items. In an ideal budget document, you would summarize those 7 or 8 major account levels, and then you have something that would say, okay, within the issue of consumable supplies, how much is Public Works going to spend on paper? Generally, in my experience, the budget committee doesn't want to see that, because now you're down at the account level. But this Public Works, in its consumable supplies document, its consumable supplies subtotal of all of its consumable supplies, is its $20,000 budget this year related to its $20,000 budget the previous year and its $30,000 budget the year prior to that. To me, that's what a budget document should show. If you want an asterisk that says, or an explanation that says, consumable supplies are defined in the following way, you can do that.
If, however, you want an asterisk that's going to include everything, the 20 or 25 accounts within consumable supplies, then you've got a document that's probably 4 or 5 times the size of this.
No, I don't think we want to micromanage. I don't think micromanagement is the situation. What I'm talking about is the fact that the city council or the city manager need to have in hand a package from the chamber, and I know we've got it from the OCC. I know we've got the packages just on the desk if somebody asks, that's all. It's terribly embarrassing if somebody comes in and says, how did we spend the $235,000 for the airport fund? And everybody looking at it, everybody saying, well, I really don't know. I'm sure we know. Just make sure, I'm just bringing it up, that it's clearly stated so the city manager and the council knows.
Okay, Mr. Chair.
That's it. All right. Yes, Deb.
Go ahead, Janet.
I had a question on the revenue side. I think we discussed this last time.
Could I continue with this?
Oh, one? Sure.
Yeah. This $800,000 is discretionary with the discretion of the city council, right? And if there is an issue with $200,000 and somebody raises that, there should be some sort of a paper trail to show how that money was spent. It's not like it just disappears, right?
No, I'm just saying there. We need to remind them that there needs to be a good paper trail. That's all.
Okay, and indeed there is, I'm sure, right?
It depends on what you mean.
It's not going to list how many firecrackers we bought. But,
you mean a paper trail for the particular contractor or vendor who has spent that money, or the particular item that might have 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 vendors within it, or a particular $25,000 grant, the amount that was actually awarded to the grant and then actually that was accounted for. There are different ways of doing it. What I'm saying right now, it's fairly cumbersome and fairly difficult to retrieve that data. However, every month since November, the council has been receiving monthly reports, and there's still a, on all expenses, able to break down very, very far. And we will continue to do that, and we're continuing to streamline and make that a better report, because it is literally a work in progress. Those expenses are available anytime. The next thing we're incorporating them is a report that shows here's how much that's been spent, and primarily capital construction, but not exclusively. Here's what's been spent on capital project A and project B and capital procurement C. That capability exists now, as long as at the start we've identified it specifically, and that's been the problem. We don't have that kind of specificity right at this moment, but we're getting there, and I suspect a year from now, everybody's requirements and demands can be met. It's just fairly difficult right now, but there have been monthly reports for 6 or 7 months now.
Can we ask that the small number of people on the budget committee be privy to those reports as well? Can you just get them out to us?
They're in the council packet.
Mm-hmm. They're in the council packet each week?
How long does that stay online, the council packets?
As far as I know, they're always there.
So,
all right, very good. That answers that question. Janet, you had something?
I was wondering, last year we talked about delinquencies in the room tax, and that we had some outstanding some people who hadn't paid in recently. Is that the same cycle we're on, or is it pretty much that the revenue coming in, we feel pretty is out there, and we don't have any outstanding?
We always have 1 or 2 colorful big guys who are late. By big guys, I mean the Shilohs or the Best Western or something like that. It almost always comes in. We've had, and I hope they will remain unidentified, but we have had some of our bigger establishments that's actually written bad checks, and so it doesn't initially get recorded in the month that it should have been in, and it can actually be well into the next month before it moves.
But it's the same pattern, so I'm just wondering, get on the revenue side. So it's.
I mean, we eventually get it all.
It just rolls. It's rolling.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any further discussion on the room tax analysis? Anybody? Yes, sir.
If the revenues don't come in, and they're short by 50, 60,000, how's that made up? Is that across the board?
The way we're going to make it up this year, if we collect 2.3 million, we budgeted 2.5, you notice that's 92%. The last distribution or the last half of the year, the distributions to the non-contractual recipients will be reduced by 8%.
Very good. Anybody else?
So, Robert, just in response to David, your comment. Actually, I wasn't saying what should be done with asterisks, and I think you took issue with that. What I was suggesting was, if you as the person who puts this document together feels there's some ways of providing more clarity for some of the terminology, I think I'll leave it up to you and Jim to do that, because I think that there is room for more clarity in this budget document, whether it's by asterisks or general definitions. I'm throwing out ideas. I'm not saying what should or shouldn't be done. I'm kind of like posing the question, and if there is an issue, which there appears to be with some clarity, my response would be, if you have some ideas, bring it back to us and incorporate it if you can, and at least we have a start this year in providing more clarity for the budget document, which to me, again, is a window for the citizens into how we spend their taxpayer dollars.
And believe me, I wish this budget document was a lot better than
the I'm saying we could at least start thinking about some of those ideas for the future.
Right. Very good. All right, let's move on to revenue codes.
That's just a response to the initial question by Councilor Allen. What we tried to do there.
All right,
just
very good. Other changes? Anything in that?
No.
All right, fine. And now we have the famous other funds, which is SDC funds, starting on page 105. Who handles that one?
You well, have I do kind
poor
of.
Poor David.
I'm not very smart on SDCs or on the NESCO.
Would you tell us what SDC is so that everybody knows?
Charges, and there are any number of people in this audience can define them better than me. I think the important thing for the budget committee is the amount budgeted for SDC receipts for this year was very conservative and didn't consider a lot of things that have since happened, but it was done the correct way. By that I mean, somebody, Lee, you get to do my system development charges far better than I could do that.
There are five areas that we collect system development charges. They're collected at the time the building permit is issued. It's transportation, water, sewer, parks, and storm drainage. And the idea is that the infrastructure that is existing that was designed over capacity, or over designed so that future growth could take place, can be partially charged on that new growth. Or if there is a project that we know is coming up to satisfy the growth, then that is also put in the list of SDC projects, and money can be collected and set aside so that it goes toward that particular project and in these areas. So the SDC funds were set up by a task force of representatives. I'm trying to see if there's anybody here on guns on it. And we had a banker, a realtor, a couple of contractors, a developer, and they essentially looked over the city's capital projects and helped decide which portion of that would be SDC eligible, and then we set up this list of all these projects, come up with a rate that's charged on building permits. So if we project low conservatives because the construction industry is down, and then we have something come in like the NOAA facility that exceeds way a lot of what we put in for the budget for SDCs.
Is that the reason why we're seeing 472 instead of 168?
472
and 168.
What page?
Well, I guess on page 106B, your SDC charges.
Oh, 472 instead of 17.4? Yes. In other words, our receipts this year because of Walmart, because of NOAA, because of the Aquarium Science Building, the port terminal and stuff, are much higher than we actually budgeted last year. And so we've taken kind of a mid-level approach to that and say, well, will 2012 be as good as 2011? Probably not, but it ought to be a whole lot better than we budgeted for 2010.
We budgeted 17,000 last year?
That's yeah. What I believe is in the fiscal year 11 budget document, unless I entered it incorrectly.
Yeah, well, I thought these guys paid these in this year and not, maybe I'm confused.
That's the budget, not what's been received.
Yeah, but the proposed budget, you're proposing that you're going to receive $472,000.
Yes.
And Walmart's already paid their fees, and so is NOAA.
Yes, I mean, this estimate would come from Derek, you know. Derek did the estimate.
He must know something we don't know about what's coming into town.
And
it's a pretty big project, whatever it be.
Jim Protiva would have done the one for parks, or maybe he and I worked together on that.
Derek provided his estimate. He's usually pretty right on. He's usually pretty accurate. But I can't tell you what it consists of. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. I don't either. Because the actuals, we've only gotten, the highest we've ever gotten is $168,000.
Well, we got more than that this year, but you wouldn't see actuals on it.
Yeah, okay.
This year projected to be a lot higher than
just what was that?
I say this year projected.
When you say this year, what do you
mean? Current year projected. I don't have that number.
No, I can get them in a lot fiscal year higher. 11 would be
yeah. Several. But I'm just wondering how, I'm hoping you, I don't know what project you're anticipating to get $472,000 out of, but I'd be curious to find out.
It wouldn't be any one single project.
Okay, I'm just kind of doubting my figure.
That's not like an
actual money there.
Dr. Smith, would you like me to find out and email the answer back to the committee?
Well, this whole situation is kind of confusing for the guy who just walks in off the street and doesn't pay attention to this every single day. Beginning fund balance is $1,255,351, and then we've got $472,000 here. You had the interest on investment there, and you got $475,339. And then we're saying this money goes out to parks. They get a small little dibble. Storm drains doesn't really get a lot. Streets, a teeny bit more. Do you make these decisions as to how these, you and the city manager, you guys make these decisions?
Normally this would come from the person most knowledgeable in this area. For example, Derek said we'll use $81,500 for the sidewalk northwest 56th. We'll use $180,000 for lower Agate Beach. We'll use $200,000 for the wastewater improvements at Agate Beach. We'll use $50,000 for Agate Beach access, and he's got quite a list of these things, so it pretty much balances out. But you know, if it doesn't balance out, it simply goes into contingency or it's unspent and it's carried over into the next year.
It does carry over into contingency.
The biggest part of it is in contingency.
Yeah.
All right.
In other words, that money is always available, however much or little we've over or underestimated, it'll be carried forward if it's not spent.
No, I don't think you need to do any more work to send us out another email, but just general questions. These are things we don't normally work with every day. I'm sure I'm speaking for other members on the
that's so
panel.
Dr. Smith, I'm going to ask you, like, in the case of the Parks and Rec systems development charges, we might not have any expenditure activity for many years and let that pot grow to a point where we could actually do a project. So whether that number is extremely accurate or off a little bit is, in the case of the parks, is not as critical because we've not budgeted to spend any of that money for next year.
It just carries over in your that's fine.
It accumulates until you have.
Any other questions we have? Yes, sir.
On that, it isn't always projects that we're doing. If a developer is putting in a pipeline that he needs an 8-inch pipeline, and our master plan shows in the future that needs to be a 12-inch pipeline, we pay the difference between the 8 and the 12 out of SDCs. And we might not know at the beginning of the budget year what project will happen during that budget year, especially when we're doing the budget usually several months in advance of even when that fiscal year starts. So that's some of what we
it's a little bit of change in the back pocket. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
Yeah, but there's a lot more money balance than what we've actually transferred to the capital improvement fund for projects that have been identified.
All right, any other questions on these funds, please? Anybody? Let's move on to the back of the page, please. The debt fund. I'm looking at the Urban Renewal Agency. Where's the debt service? There it is.
The debt service fund is part of our most boring fund, and it simply is where all of the either general obligation bonds, low-cap loans, or anything else that we formally bother in public.
We're paying our bills, right?
Paying our bills, yes.
Okay, that's good. Let's talk about the Urban Renewal Agency. Don Mann called me about 5 o'clock and said he wanted to express the fact that the court is very happy with how it went this year, and they're supportive of the projects that are underway for the urban renewal in the South Beach area. That's all he said. He identified a sidewalk project, I believe, and a trail project, but he just wanted me to convey to everybody here tonight that he couldn't be here, but he wanted us to know that from his perspective, things were going along. pretty well. Do you have, anyone have comment on this compilation in this fund, please?
Do we have a list of capital projects?
That will come under the capital projects fund.
Oh.
Is this a spot where a narrative page would be helpful, or is that just assuming that we're going to pick all that detail up?
I would think that would be in the capital projects fund again, because the money is set aside here for specific projects, but it's put into that fund a little bit.
I think it might be helpful to have a little bit of a narrative page on urban renewal, so we understood how it was supposed to function and get a little bit of background. I have a pretty good understanding of urban renewal because I've been involved in it one way or the other for a while, but I think a narrative page here would be helpful along the lines of what some of the other folks have talked about, transparency and understanding.
That's fine.
Is there a narrative that somebody could give us with
Urban Renewal 101?
Yeah.
Urban Renewal 101, is that your job?
I can do it like do I it. Did with the
Let's do it. Let's do it. Why don't you jump up here in the seat so we can grill you and make you squirm and all those terrible things that happen in a small town.
All right. I don't know if this is on. Urban renewal is a process where an area of town can be set into a district and project can be identified. Usually it's in an area that has some elements of blight or some needs some stimulus for growth. And what happens is that they'll freeze the tax rate and on the property taxes, and any increases go into the urban renewal agency. The theory, at least in part, is that the urban renewal agency is increasing property values to a certain extent by the projects. And so the property values go up, the taxes collected on that increase go back to repay those projects. And the district is set up for a certain amount of number of years, and then no more projects can be completed unless it's extended. And then as soon as all of that project, or the money that's borrowed to build those projects gets paid back, then the district can be closed. An example, when they built the Performing Arts Center, that was done with urban renewal money, and that area of town really needed something positive to stimulate it. And so they built the PAC. I understand that the buildings that were taken down, rats were leaving en masse. Okay, but because the PAC is there, a lot of properties around there have improved significantly, not just the PAC. In fact, I think that's been a great stimulus for the whole Nye Beach area. We did an urban renewal project in Nye Beach that was their streetscape project, and that helped as well. And now the Northside District has been closed. There are no more projects taking place. And in fact, we're getting close to paying off all of the loans that have been associated with that. And then the tax rate goes back. The increase that's happened during the time it was frozen goes back to the various taxing agencies. So the amount that has been frozen, the increase will go to the school district, to the county, to the port, and to the city. And so with the closure of the Northside Urban Renewal District, the city will get, what, $750,000 or something like that, Jim?
Something like that.
Yeah, increase. But also, that's because that area, the value has been increased. And without the Urban Renewal District, then we don't believe that that increase would have been as significant.
So South Beach is the only district we have?
That's correct.
Active and open?
Yes.
Any thoughts about any other new districts in the future?
There has been a suggestion made that a new district could be created. I don't know if it's been any more than a suggestion, but the Agate Beach area has been suggested as one area that could use some of that kind of stimulation.
All right,
Robert?
Yes.
I wasn't here last week. I don't know what was handed out, but I was looking at the South Beach Urban Renewal District Construction Fund, and that references the transfer to capital projects of $623,000. I was just looking at the capital projects fund. I don't see any specific itemization for the different capital projects that are going to be at least proposed to be funded this upcoming year. Was that handed out last week, or is that in some of the handouts?
Can you got it right there in my answer?
Is that coming up later? Are you handing it out later?
And there's an identifier in here of a transfer from South Beach Urban Renewal in the Capital Projects Fund, transfer to the Capital Project.
Right.
That would correspond to this. We found that the numbers are different right now.
Yeah, but separate from that, I'm just kind of looking at the expenditure side, the capital project.
I can tell you exactly what project is associated with South Beach Urban.
Okay, I guess the question is there any, but Tim, just a quick, Tim, just a quick question. I'm just wondering, so when I'm looking at the Capital Projects Fund on page, I'm just trying to understand what's going on here. So the Capital Projects page on 99, I think there might be a new one here, 99B. Okay, so on 99B it talks about total capital outlay of $11.2 million for the proposed budget. That's the total capital outlay, correct? So is there going to be anything in the actual budget document that's going to actually have a listing of what projects actually amount to that number of $11.2 million?
Yes.
Okay, we just don't have it right now.
Well, you don't in your document.
Right.
You have it in what Tim's looking at,
which
is the capital improvement plan, which is a much more complex document. So
right.
We just tied the expenses into the revenue sources for our purposes right now. You'll have a specific listing of the capital
right.
project.
So my question is, since we're talking about urban renewal now in the South Beach District for construction, I think someone mentioned on the budget committee, so I'm curious for the $623,000 that we're utilizing right now for capital projects. You, Tim, you've got that broken down as to what projects in the South Beach Urban Renewal District are going to be used. So my question is, after you go through that, has the council, either this council or the previous council, I don't recall, have we actually come up with some determination as to what projects are to be funded? Because I remember the South Beach Urban Renewal Plan that was adopted as an amendment actually had phase one, phase two, phase three, depending on what year. And I know certain things are in phase one. So, I mean, is that a, I know we haven't met a lot as an urban renewal agency, but I guess my question is, we're putting something in a proposed document as a potential project for next year. Is that just something that I guess staff has kind of come up with as a potential project based on what's currently in the urban renewal document under phase one, or has that been vetted through some other process?
No, those are in the projects that were listed in phase one.
Are there a number of projects in which you can actually choose others versus the ones that are in here? So a decision was made as to which ones to pick out of phase one versus others? Or are you based, that's my question, is was there some discretion in choosing which projects in phase one to actually put in this proposed budget?
Yes, but they're all the ones that the council, that either ready to go or we've taken them to urban renewal agency.
My question is, was there any prioritization within phase one as to which ones to do first versus others? Or was that basically left to the discretion of staff to determine at the proposed budget document phase?
To a certain extent, it's up to staff, because we know which projects are more ready to go in this fiscal year versus the next fiscal year.
Okay, I'm just trying to get ideas to where that decision was made to put certain projects into the proposed budget if there were other projects that could have been chosen in its place. That's all.
Well,
and
as staff, we try to listen to the council or to the urban renewal agency on priorities and have...
The thing is, this council for the past 5 months hasn't really even done that yet. Mm-hmm. We've only gotten a urban renewal 101, and that's not it. So you must, you probably are then relying on the past council before January, because I met on the council since January. We've met two or three times, and we have not discussed priorities as an urban renewal agency as long as I've been on the council since January. So I guess my question is, are you going on what the past council was prioritizing before the new council took office? Or are you basically going on what your own best judgment based on what's available?
Just for this sake of just making this easier, I can tell you there are four projects being funded through urban renewal for this proposed budget. One is actually the remainder of Natterlin Drive. One is the tsunami evacuation route has enhancements.
Okay.
One is the Highway 101 sewer and water improvements. And then the new one actually is to reconstruct the estuary trail and expand for bike use over by the Hatfield Marine Science Center. So three of the projects are ongoing.
Wasn't Natterlin, it was Ash Street.
Ash Street.
Good correction.
So Tim, what was that fourth one?
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's Ash Street.
So three were continuing, that's good to know. What was the fourth one, the new one?
Yeah. Fourth one is the reconstruct the estuary trail and expand for bike use by the Hatfield Marine Science.
And I guess my question is, if a decision was made to put that into the proposed budget, if there was in fact other choices in phase one to choose from, I guess I'm trying to get the thinking at staff level as to why that project was picked over the others that were available as a choice to put into the proposed budget. And that's what I'm trying to get is some clarity, because I'm making a decision to approve a document, and at least I'd like to know what the underlying thinking is as to why a certain project was put into the budget before I actually approve the budget. Jim?
The Hatfield Trail, the reason that is in the budget is Hatfield has to repair their trail, and they're doing substantial work. And the thought was, by putting a little bit of this money in, we can make a much better trail, one that can accommodate bikes and pedestrians as well. So we're kind of working with the Hatfield on a project they're going to do anyway. So that's how that one came up. So there was some rationale.
Okay. Well, that's on. I'm just trying to get the rationale.
That's what Don Mann called on tonight.
Yeah, I mean, that's important to me. The rationale for anything in here is important to me before I approve anything. Yeah.
Yes, Chuck.
Yeah, I had a conversation with Derek today regarding the curb renewal and the various projects that are in the budget Tim was talking about, and my comment was to him, I didn't think that there had been a lot of dialogue about projects in terms of prioritizing and knowing about them. And I kind of listened carefully to see whether there's any urban renewal meetings that might have taken place, you know, in the last year, 18 months or so. And there really hasn't. Derek did make a comment that he thought some more input was needed along those lines. And I think there's a strategy for South Beach relative to urban renewal, that there's some different ways of looking at spending money over there. So outside of this budget process, maybe shortly thereafter, there could be some work session developed to talk about urban renewal as it relates to
South Beach. Once again, I'm in the dark, so are you. We don't know. I don't know the urban renewal plan for South Beach. Have you ever seen it?
Yeah, I
know. No one's ever talked to me about it in my life.
I know it pretty well.
I'm sure you do. But do you know it, Fred? Have you seen it, Dak?
Nope.
Have you seen it?
I, like Chuck, am pretty familiar with it, but right. It's also gone through some major changes in the last year with the part of that, I think, what staff does, it's somewhat opportunistic. Mm-hmm. So with, like, Marine Science Drive, that whole project had been in the books. We'd had money on there for a sidewalk and then could leverage it into a multi-million-dollar project. I concur with Chuck, though. I don't think we've had a robust conversation about urban renewal priorities in the last 6 to 8 months, ever since we kind of went into this, into the extension of it, and then making these shifting some things out of phase two into phase one, and it's probably time to do that again. On the estuary trail, that's, I think it might be more of a placeholder than anything else, because I don't think it's really ready. From what I'm hearing, from my other hat, there are other issues going on. So it might be an opportunity, but it also might just be, might be a placeholder there. So I would suggest that we want to have more of a conversation. This the Urban Renewal Agency should have.
You bet. Since we're on the Urban Renewal Budget Committee, we need to get some information on that too, so it'd be nice as well. I just feel sad that I'm so in the dark, and I shouldn't be in the dark. Somebody should enlighten me on these issues.
I guess in terms of the budget, and I'll ask this of David, do you budget for specific projects, and then we still have that pot of money there, but if it's nothing, if a project isn't budgeted, don't we go back, can the Urban Renewal Agency go back in and either reallocate or move money between phases?
I don't know much about urban renewal. I mean, generally, any fund that has unspent funds can carry it forward and do with it what it wants. I mean, if it hasn't spent money on a project and something is prioritized and been higher and the funding is available, you certainly have the freedom to do that, as far as I know.
I think there's probably some. Maybe you can give me a little clarity here too on that. You look at this thing, and there's a certain amount that has to be paid towards your debt that we've bonded to do projects, and there's obviously a certain amount that comes in funds. What amount of cash is left over then, coming on a yearly so far? That's usable.
In the way of property taxes?
Well, the way, yeah, source of funds, your property tax, I guess.
It's too short there, and see, I don't have, I'm not sure the exact number.
Page 114 or 15.
So how much more money do we have to spend? Is that kind of...
Well, yeah, I don't know. It looks like there's only 400, maybe 450,000 left in the whole entire budget to do anything. And you got to have some reserves you can't spend, so what I'm looking at is there's nothing left to spend.
Oh, you're looking at the zero, about 115.
Jeff, I'm not sure. I mean, I see a beginning point balance of 199,000. And property taxes that are about $2.65 million. So the total sources of funding is $4.4 million.
Where do you see those numbers?
I'm not sure why you think there's no money available.
Total sources available.
What page is that on? I don't have a 313.
113.
It's in today's handout.
Is it today's or something? That's why I don't have a page. But you, so what's left after you pay the debt? So I guess I'm just getting it.
How much money do we have in the Urban Renewal Fund to do projects? What I'm going to do right now, ladies and gentlemen, is call a five-minute recess so you can just take a break, and we'll figure that out in the next 5 minutes. We'll be geniuses. Let's take a five-minute break, please. 5 minutes only.
Yeah,
Well, let's see. I was looking at. Go ahead.
3 years now, was the one state championship. Our second best pitcher was Travis Iverson. He was a horse. Just a great athlete. Our best pitcher was a left-hander. So Travis Iverson was the number one pitcher.
If you total up these are the total numbers of employees.
Right, exactly. But what I was looking at was
somebody asked me how many benefit employees.
That's been the front end report.
We have one good picture.
Let's get back to our seats, please. Everybody take their seats. Let's have everybody take their seats, please. Get a little decorum in this group. Sweep up. Okay. We're going back to, we've just figured it all out, I'm sure. And if we haven't, well, we'll just say we haven't. David, you got anything important to say? Yeah. Does anybody have a helmet for poor David?
Could somebody ask the question?
How much money do we have after expenses to do urban renewal projects in South Beach normally?
This year only?
Yes.
This is the way I would approach the answer to that. I'd look and say, what did we start the year with? Or at least what are we forecasting? Remember, a budget is just a forecast, it's an estimate.
Well, that was
we expect to start with $799,000. Now, that would be money in the bank. We expect to start the year, but nothing else. We'll at least have $799,000. Hopefully, we'll be within 5% of it.
So $800,000 is in the bank, right?
That's our estimate as of July 1st, 2011.
For general information, who is going to make the decision as to how that $800,000 is to be spent?
I can only refer to how previous expenditures from the urban renewal
right.
have been authorized. I don't know.
Does anybody know?
Oh, this is
David Allen probably does.
Pardon?
What? David know? David was a counselor during a period where they used urban renewal.
Maybe I'll try this one this way.
All right.
On the projects, I guess the way I would look at it is when the South Beach Urban Renewal District was extended out to 2020, I believe it was extended out 10 years, there was a whole amendment process that the city went through the City Council on Urban Renewal. And they created that urban renewal amendment along with different phases for different projects, depending on the time frame. So, I mean, generally speaking, projects have already been kind of delineated over the course of the next 10 years in different phases, depending on phase one being the next few years, phase two the following 3 years, and so forth until we get to 2020. And then there's a certain amount of money available for bonded debt to use the urban renewal, and I think they calculated that out. Lee, you may have that number as far as how much additional bonded debt could be utilized for projects over the course of the next 10 years.
I don't have.
But my thinking is the urban renewal agency at points during the year should probably, within phase one, since that's the most current time period we're dealing with, should probably look at what projects are kind of available within phase one to be done. And if there's not enough money to do them all, then I think those projects have to be prioritized within phase one. And probably that should be an urban renewal agency decision. That should be probably a component of the budget process. So when the proposed budget is actually put together, at least there's some sense from the city staff as to what the first choice is among the various choices available in phase one to start funding this next year. And I think because of all the other issues we've been dealing with over the past 5 months, that probably has not been done as well as it could have been. So that's why I'm asking the question now, because I guess I didn't have a chance to ask it earlier on in the year when we never really had a chance to talk about it as an urban renewal agency. So I'm kind of left right now to talk about it.
We have $800,000
that's my answer.
To spend. And the question is, who is going to decide how that money is prioritized and spent? That's all.
May I answer that in two ways? we expect to start the year with $799,000 or $800,000. We expect to receive $1,085,000 in property taxes, current, and about $808,000. So we would have 2.6 plus 8. We have about $3.4 million to spend this year, and we have property taxes every year to spend. Now, in the normal budgetary process, when the council or a governing board adopts a budget, there's an identification of capital projects and everything else that have been adopted and therefore approved by the governing board. And so if the Urban Renewal Agency has projects A, B, C, and D, and they're explicitly identified in the budget document, and that budget is adoption, no further approval in my background in school districts only, no further approval from the governing agency or the governing board is necessary because the approval takes place in the adoption of the budget in the first place. As David Allen indicated earlier, you do need specific identification of projects and other capital procurements in your budget before it's adopted. Once it is the authorization to spend on a budgetary scale. Whether or not you have criteria that says city manager can approve specific expenditures to $50,000 and everybody, anything above $50,000 has to be approved by a council or some type of other intermediary is another issue. But it's budget adoption that normally authorizes the expenditure of funds for whether it's toilet paper or whether it's a $10 million project, at least in my experience. And so you seem to have a fair amount of money here. Remember, we didn't even look at the debt obligation payoffs here. I'm just looking at the beginning fund balance that we're estimating and the $2.6 million in property taxes to be received. And that, if I were a Tim or if I were a Derek or anybody else, I'd say, I've got that amount of money to fund in part or in whole certain projects in fiscal year 12 and if they're multi-year projects in fiscal year 12 and 13, realizing that fiscal year 13 is going to have its own additional source of money and the property taxes to be received that year.
Who is it that makes this determination as to how these projects are going to be put on the table and prioritized? The Urban Renewal Committee?
I can't answer that. I haven't been.
Who can answer that? Who
makes it? Executive director. Urban Renewal has an executive director and a president, which is a member of council.
So who is the executive director of Urban Renewal?
The city manager.
The city manager. Okay, and then you have a committee?
The city council, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's the Urban Renewal Board, which is made up of the city council.
I understand. So the city council is making these decisions?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, fine. That's just what we want to know. I didn't want five guys from South Beach behind the bush making these decisions. Yes.
And Derek normally handles this, so I can't remember all the numbers, but there's a priority list of projects that was established in the Urban Renewal Plan, and we try to put together a budget to get those projects done, and in various phases, as has been mentioned. And then when we get budget approval, putting the money in the budget this year to do four projects, when those projects are ready to be constructed and to get all of the bids in, then we go back to the Urban Renewal Commission and ask for approval to award that contract to the group that's going to build it. So there are numerous times that it does go back to the Urban Renewal Board.
And the fund has, as you said, David, quite a bit of money in it now. So this is quite a nice... Actually, it doesn't?
No. Well, a chunk of that is going to pay previous debt.
But I guess I'm a little still. I understand there's a beginning fund balance, and I don't look at that as you know, it's money that's in the bank. But property taxes are $1.8 million, not 2.6.
Yeah, delinquent taxes are also.
Oh, how much would that be,
I believe, isn't it? 808,000
is our estimate based upon. What page is that on?
It's on the general sheet.
Remember,
there's the four sheets in there,
Jeff. I'm under. What page is that?
Not a page. 13, 14, or 15.
Yeah. All departments.
13.
But I guess the question would be, you always have delinquent debt. And year after year, you're going to have the same delinquent percentage of debt, but you're anticipating to collect every bit of debt and be current?
No, usually, and Oregon actually puts out the historical amount that's collected by every entity in the state historically, and it's normally around 96% to 97% of delinquent debt is eventually collected, but often over several years.
Okay. I don't know. I'm sorry. I'm not making heads or tails of this thing. But I guess there. On one page it tells you the taxes. On another page it tells it jumps to 2.6 and from who knows where. From reserves and beginning balance, and I can't make that add up. But then the debt payment appears to be about 1.4. You have to pay out every year. And again, if we're current taxes are 1.18, and I guess you're anticipating some magical tax of $800,000. You've got enough money there, but I guess I'm trying to figure out what amount of money is bondable later, or could be or a project can be paid for out of cash from this current income stream, not what's been collected and sitting in the bank. Because the bank, you spend it. I mean, sooner you can't bond money that's in the bank. You bond the income stream.
I'm sorry, I've lost you. I mean, and that's my error. I mean, if there's some way I can reconstruct the Urban Renewal Agency and the entire budget, I'll be happy to do that. I mean, we receive property taxes, and we normally get.
Well, I'm sure figures are all there. I just can't make sure.
Well, I mean, to me, an income stream is an income stream, and yeah. Property taxes. Generally, you get 75% to 80% of it in November or December. Right. I mean, to me, that is an income stream.
There's a question. Well, what I'm saying is 1.8 is what I'm hearing. What I'm seeing here is what you're anticipating to get.
Plus another 800,000. Yes.
So, look.
I mean, what happens to Council of Verbalite if you were to look? Let's get something that's a little simpler. If you were to look at the general fund, and you look at the tax collections every month.
Right.
In November, you would have seen the receipt of maybe $1.5 million of current taxes and maybe $75,000 to $90,000 of delinquent taxes. In the month of June, we'll see maybe $300,000 to $400,000 of property taxes current and maybe $25,000 to $50,000 in June.
I think maybe the terminology current is throwing, that's all. Maybe you always receive 2.6 is what you're trying to year after year.
No, not necessarily. You receive quite a bit less last year. And I'm not sure exactly why. And that's why I'm pretty happy to reconstruct this entire Urban Renewal Agency budget. And anything that might happen tonight as far as approval, that's fine. I don't pretend to be an expert in Urban Renewal Agencies. So I'll be happy to reconstruct that and have a clearer picture next time we meet. That's all I know to do.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Yeah, maybe a format that everybody can.
That's fine, I can do that.
Okay.
There's a document I have in my hand, you're familiar with it, Amendments to the South Beach Urban Renewal Plan. If you have an extra copy of that, I'd like to have it, because I haven't really seen it, and I need
Derek could probably be the one.
Derek, I need to do some homework on this for next year.
Derry's not here. Right. Isn't there? So we
somebody Robert. Needs to make a copy so I can do some homework.
No,
thanks, David.
I just want to kind of summarize what I said earlier. I think what probably happened was, since there's some question about what projects are being funded next fiscal year out of the South Beach Urban Renewal District Fund, I think what probably happened is there was probably an array of choices in phase one that could have been funded. But I think staff made their best guess or best judgment as to what should be funded. And I'm not disputing whether it should or should not be these choices they've laid out. But I think typically in the run-up to the budget document, like what we had with the stormwater fee issue and everything else, usually there's a preliminary discussion that the Urban Renewal Agency probably should have had a few months ago, talking about kind of the priorities they want to set for the phase one projects to give staff some sense of where to go. So at least when you put this proposed budget together, David, at least you have some preliminary ideas as to what the Urban Renewal Agency wanted. And you're right. before we adopt the budget, the Urban Renewal Agency, when they adopt the budget, are going to have to make these choices, but sometimes it's good to have a few months run-up to actually vet it before you actually are kind of like up against the wall, so to speak, to have to make some choices, especially when June 30th is the deadline for us to make those choices. So I think next year, we probably need to have an Urban Renewal Agency vetting of projects before we actually start putting stuff in proposed budgets. It's probably just the best course of action.
I would say I think the Ash Street and the sewer and water upgrades are ongoing projects that have been prioritized.
Yes.
So those are definitely ones. The tsunami enhancements is probably one that came up because of
it just happened.
So at least those two I know have been adequately vetted, David, and have gone through the process.
And I'm not talking. I'm not talking about what's been adequately vetted. I'm talking about for David, I'm just mentioning we should have a procedure in place so we can kind of have this discussion separate from the budget committee, so at least the budget committee has better direction when they actually convene like tonight.
So are we looking at the capital projects budget then?
We are right now. We're going into that. Thank you very much for this information. It's helpful. Our next shift is over to the Capital Projects Fund 99A on the amended or wherever you're at. Who handles this?
Mostly Tim, but I think we're both.
All right.
Tim's been working on this one.
You get to share the hot seat, Tim.
Shit, stage left.
Yeah.
Tim is our senior projects manager.
Well, I think it might be helpful to describe a little bit the project capital projects fund and how it maybe differs from how we worked with projects in years past. Let me give you a little explanation on how we previously used to handle capital projects. The funding sources for those projects used to reside in the different funds, water fund, streets fund, and then the projects would get charged back to those funds. That was very difficult to track costs and revenue sources and what got distributed to which fund, and it was very difficult for the fund managers to be able to keep account on and what their fund balances were. And so the Capital Projects Fund was created, and essentially what that does is it's a place where the revenue sources for these projects is stored so that we can charge to this fund. And so the way that this fund is funded, I guess, is through transfers from other funds, through water, streets, wastewater, park and rec, airport. Also through either grants from the federal government or state government, depending on the project, and gas taxes, both state and local. And so the sheet that you have on 99B is essentially a breakdown of those fund transfers into the capital projects fund. And each of those fund transfers is associated for a specific project. And that's what I handed out to you, is a breakdown of how each project is funded. We've reviewed each of these funds to ensure that we have the revenue sources to be able to fund those projects. And then if you take a look at some of these projects are carryovers from this year as well. And so the beginning fund balance, as an example, on Ash Street of $447,167 is the amount that was budgeted as part of the 2010-11 budget but was not spent yet, and then gets rolled over into the next project year because capital projects simply cross over the budget cycle. And without actually being able to carry the funds over, we would be pretty severely handicapped.
Got a question. So the current budget isn't that much. So the $447,000, is that plus the $472,000, or is that just $400,000?
Okay, the 2011-2012 beginning fund balance is the amount that was transferred, essentially beginning fund balance that was transferred over from this year. That's one of the items that we had talked about being funded by the South Beach Urban Renewal. For whatever reason, it was underfunded by $25,000 last year for the project from Urban Renewal, and so we simply added that as part of this year's budget, which gave you the total of $472,167 for this year's budget. And so the beginning fund balance plus all of the transfers, which are over the next three phases, add up to the 2011-2012 budget number. Is there any desire to go through each of these projects?
No.
Okay.
had a question on the South Beach Trail, because I think Jim had said that was on hold. So is that one we still need the budget for? So is that a placeholder, or why is it still being...
At the time that document was created, we probably anticipated moving forward full steam ahead on that, and then something happened recently that has caused us to pause on that. So that probably is just not as up-to-date as our current situation.
We intentionally left it in there just in case something crazy cool happened and we had it budgeted. It doesn't need to be spent if it's not available.
And Tim is exactly correct. We have not actually contacted the state and said that we will not be utilizing that grant. But internally, we are not moving forward on that until something outside of our control.
And as an example, in the fiscal year 11 budget, there were projects that weren't done and simply dropped off for one reason or another. Either they were financially unfeasible or the design didn't work out, and they just fell off the budget for this year. And so that could be one of those projects that would just not show up on the 2012-2013 budget then.
I had another question. I think that Chuck had sent out from the Bicycle and Pedestrian Committee budget considerations, and I noticed that there's $15,000 in there that's probably kind of a general, is that kind of general placeholder for these things, but the request from the Bicycle and Pedestrian Committee is for more than that. So I don't know, Chuck, did these get integrated into capital projects, or are they getting funded out of other...
Are you referring to that part of my email? Or what did you...
Yeah, your email.
Your email.
That was just a wish list that the Bicycle Pet Committee came up with that we thought with budget time here, we would introduce those as possibilities. They aren't necessarily, I didn't expect to see them necessarily show up in the budget document with the potential exception of the fence near the Coast Guard station. That was the only project that had kind of previously been partially vetted.
So is that on here?
I don't know.
It's not identified that way, and you're probably going to want to crucify me for saying this, but this document was pretty well finalized by the time I got the email from Chuck, and we didn't include the fence because there's not really a great source of funding revenue for that. The $15,000 that you see is required to be spent on bicycle and pedestrian facilities through the state gas tax proration that we have. Now, it's actually less than that, but we have budgeted $15,000 for that. In the past, it has been in the streets fund, and they have used it for improving pedestrian crossings or whatever materials and supplies they needed for improving bicycle and pedestrian facilities. In the effort of being transparent, we have identified that $15,000 in the capital projects fund. There's actually nothing, no project identified for that money, but we felt it was easier to follow how that money was spent instead of being buried in an operations budget rather than being identified in a capital improvement budget.
So it could go to one of these projects?
It possibly could.
Did you say there wasn't a funding source identified for the fence?
Not specifically, no.
I thought we talked in several of our group sessions about maybe using group tax money for that.
There aren't room tax funds available this year for that.
Well, contingency, I guess, as we get farther in the process, that would be, if there is no money identified for that project, that would make a motion that we take something out of room tax contingency as an example. That's down the road.
Yes, sir.
Are all of the items here in this South Beach Urban Renewal list, are those items that were in the original plan?
Yes. None of those just magically appeared. They were identified in one phase or another of the South Beach Urban Renewal.
So the evacuation plan was?
That was, I think, down the road a few years, and it got boosted up because of sort of quite frankly, the tsunami that recently occurred, and I think the recognition that we need to have better evacuation plans. That money was allocated there, that $200,000 for that. It was just a couple years down the road, and I think it got boosted up.
But who's to say what part of South Beach should be benefited by these dollars, and where the project, it's a real specific project.
It's so really, it's very kind of out there yet, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's just there's no concrete plans drawn up for that, and nor is it necessarily going to cost $200,000.
Right.
That was simply the amount allocated in the South Beach Urban Renewal funds for that work. It could be much less than that, or it could be spread out over the course of many years.
David made a comment, David Marshman, about, didn't you say something to the effect that if you put it in the budget and you actually call it out what it's for, then it's pretty much a done deal in terms of the money can be spent, whereby, as an example, the Green Science Center Estuary Trail project, if you simply had money that was allocated for trails in South Beach, you could use them for any trails in South Beach, including the HMSC project. But if you, so if you didn't call out the HMSC project as a line item of the budget, it gives more flexibility for council later to say, yes, we want to do that, but we also want to do something else.
I think if you're saying the difference between identifying before and budget adoption shouldn't be A South Beach Trail or B South Beach Trail, the A South Beach Trail gives you a lot more flexibility. The D South Beach Trail says that one. That's, and what I was trying to say is that if you say D South Beach Trail, $100,000, and the city council adopts the budget that way, that is the authorization to spend right then. If it's a South Beach Trail, and maybe it's going to be funded for out of contingency, then there's probably another step that would be required. One, get it out of contingency, which takes formal city council approval, and then two, specify what it's going to be spent for. But that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, in light of that, it would be better in some ways to keep those general and be able to follow up in a specific way.
As far as flexibility, I mean, one of the things we need to do, obviously, before budget adoption is identify specific capital projects and specific capital procurements, both for the city and for the Urban Renewal Agency. And then once you adopt your budget with those explicitly identified and not the ones that are there as placeholders or flexibility, that's another issue. But that's the way I would do it normally. And much of what Tim has got in the capital improvement plan, therefore the capital fund, are specific projects. Whether they'll all be funded in 1 year is highly questionable, probably won't be. But they're identified to at least start in this year, and anything that isn't spent on, let's say, $1 million project would be carried over to the next year for that specific project.
Lon, you had a question?
No, actually it was answered. I wanted to know about the evacuation route enhancement, because that was something that council only had cursory knowledge of. And I know that Councilor Beamer is along with Councilor Sawyer. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay. You're looking into that?
I'm going to give you a report on the work session, noon work on session on Monday.
Good.
Okay.
All right. Anyone else? Did you have something, sir?
I was just wondering, does this group have the authority to make a decision or recommendation that perhaps, for example, more funding should go to trails of some sort rather than what's been laid out here?
You know, I'm hesitant to say yes, because then we'll get into a micromanaging type of situation. I believe we have enough evidence to show that we have a good city manager and a good budget manager and a good city council. So I think when it comes to council, they'll make that decision. I don't think it's our job to do that here tonight.
Can I comment on this before we move on a little bit? This is our goal in Public Works is to develop a 5-year CIP. And what we're sort of doing is gathering our eggs together here, and we created year one of that. And it's very, very, very specific. I'm very hesitant to generally put money in a CIP that doesn't have a very specific project associated with that. That's a little bit more for the projected 5-year CIP, where, as an example, the recommendation to spend more money on trails, we could show that over the next few years where we have maybe trail improvements identified but not specific projects. When I would move forward to a budget committee, I would have very specific projects with very specific locations with very specific goals, and that's what you see here right now. Really, probably the only ones that are not specific is the sidewalk and bicycle improvements, and we simply did that for transparency. And so what you can expect to see over the course of the next few years is the development of that five-year CIP, which gives us a little bit more long-term planning goals. So we can set that up, and then we can review that each year. How did we match up with our five-year plan on where we wanted to spend money? You know, and bicycle and sidewalk improvements and South Beach urban renewal improvements and those types of things. And then we can prioritize South Beach projects in that fashion, kind of projecting them out over the course of the next few years and kind of getting a general idea about when they're going to be spent. And so that was the philosophy on how this was designed.
I don't have any problem with the philosophy. I think it's a great idea to identify projects. The only difficulty is you had to do it in the dark. You didn't have a chance to talk to the Urban Renewal Board about any of this. So, and we're all kind of looking at it, whoa, where'd that come from? And, you know, they maybe will agree with it. I don't know. But, I mean, just so far, that's not your fault, let's put it that way. But it's too bad that it had to happen this way. And there's some, I don't really agree with these couple of these projects. But
well, nothing is perfect, but this is a good start. We didn't have this last year. And maybe by next year, when we have the budget committee, we'll have a process set that we can, without micromanaging, we're not going to micromanage this stuff, but we want you guys to have a plan. And this is excellent. I think, from my point of view, this really gives us a lot of information we didn't have before we sat down. And it can always be improved. And if the city manager and the finance director and the city council are going to see this and make the decisions, that's what it should be. They get elected by the people. We don't. We get appointed. So we're a combination of groups here, and I'm happy with that. Anybody else have anything on these capital project funds? Anybody? All right. We're going to move on. Thank you, gentlemen. To the fun part. This is going to be quick and appropriate. Budget approval. Forget that or establish next meeting date.
Robert?
Yes.
Actually, I had since I wasn't here last week, I did have a question on one of the funds that have already been discussed, and I just wanted to ask a quick question of you, Jim, or maybe David. It gets back to the general fund. So I was looking at the one item, and I'm going to go to page 14. So I guess I think you mentioned it, David, but it looks like we have budgeted for city attorney services $70,000 for next year. Is that part of the total materials and services that have jumped up to $102,500 under the city council budget?
That was page 14.
I'm just going to clarify.
That's for the city attorney out of Eugene.
So, David, is that kind of what it's for?
So many ways, 14 is what we haven't decided.
Sure. Okay.
This may have changed. I'm looking at the original page 13, which may or may not have changed.
It was 14.
Yeah, I'm looking at 13 for the moment.
Line, it just says total materials and services.
Yes.
$102,500.
We did put $75,000 for
estimated
attorney consulting fees in materials and services in that cost center because that's. Okay. We won't do that in future years, I don't think, but we'll do that this time.
That hasn't yet been decided by the city council.
So David, my question is, are we under budgeting for that? And the only reason I bring that up is because right now we're utilizing contract services at roughly 20 hours a week at $175 per hour. So assuming that's going to kind of continue on for the next several months, when I pencil that out, that comes to roughly $15,000 a month. You can do the math, 15,000 times 12, and that's a larger amount than 75,000. And separate from that, just looking at the past invoices for the past 2 months from our contract attorney, who I think is, from all intents and purposes, is doing a really good job, but it seems like the invoices are running between 9,000 and 10,000 a month.
The month for April was just over 10,000.
Right, so my question is, if we're going to probably continue on that course of action for the foreseeable future, I'm a little bit concerned in running into a situation where we've only allocated a certain amount in the budget and we may actually be needing more, and rather than making adjustments after the fact, I'm looking at probably increasing that because It just doesn't seem to be matching up with the reality of what the billings are and what we're probably going to be utilizing over the next year or so.
What would you suggest?
I would probably suggest about at least $9,000 a month times 10 would take you to about, what, $108,000 a year or thereabouts. I think that's probably more realistic if we're going to use the same law firm at the same hourly rate with the same general number of hours per week. And maybe you came to a different conclusion based on some different variables, but is there a reason why you came up with 75 when it's showing that we're probably paying out more per month and probably will continue to do so in the foreseeable future?
The thinking was this, that 10,000 plus about half that amount in half of the month of March since Penelope left, was that there were a lot of startup costs that may or may not continue. By that, I mean, there were a lot of getting on board costs. Here's some catch up that the attorney's doing from talking to Penelope and other things. That 10,000 to us appeared to be a high number, not necessarily something that would be extended for 12 months or $120,000. If that were the case, then you probably ought to hire a city attorney back because we're not saving anything. My experience, and obviously a much different world, that if, and the thinking was also that Penelope, for all that she helped, she got into a lot of areas that weren't necessarily legal, the things that I as a department head and other people as department head would do themselves until they took it to the point of legal finesse that was necessary from then on, recognizing our inability to go into a legal world. And part of the goal was simply to spend less money and to have a reachable target, which I think 75,000 is, so that Jim and Lee and myself do some of the preliminary work, as I've done, for example, with the RFP for police service maintenance. Penelope would have done all of that and charged a great deal, and if she were charged, and charged a great deal of money. I did a lot of that, and when I couldn't do any more, because I knew I was beyond my experience level, I took it to the city attorney, to our new city attorney, basically, to do that. So is $75,000 going to make it? I don't know. I thought it was a good goal, and I'm not sure that we shouldn't strive for it. If we can't reach it, it would just be one account out of many hundreds that would be exceeded, but it's a goal there to try to achieve something rather than put in $120,000, which gives people a fair amount of latitude to spend what they want. That was the thinking,
okay.
Correct or not?
So even if we were only spending $120,000 a year, we're still saving a considerable amount because if we were to utilize an in-house city attorney, we'd be close to $200,000 a year, including benefits. So even at $10,000 a month estimate for outside contract services, we're still roughly saving $70,000 to $80,000 a year versus in-house services. So
then there's another attorney here that I didn't see because Penelope's fully burdened.
I'm looking at the adopted budget from last year, and the adopted budget was close to $197,000 for city attorney services last year.
There's a big difference, David, between what's been adopted and what's been experienced.
And the actuals were about $165,000 a year before.
For Penelope.
Yeah. So I guess my question is, you feel comfortable in using $75,000 even though the reality suggests it could be higher and then we'll have to make adjustments over the course of the year?
I don't think it's an unreasonable goal.
Okay.
I'm comfortable with that along with a lot of the others. I mean, there's a lot of assumptions in here that I'm not comfortable with, but they seem to be achievable and reachable, and I think we ought to strive to do it.
You made your case very well. That seems to be the case. All right. Do we have any further discussion before we make motions for the approval of the budget? Do we have any further discussion from any of the panel members? Anything you would like to say or make a remark about? Anybody?
Is this the time you bring up items for changes, potential changes?
Yeah. If you would like to say something or want to change something, now's the time to stand up and be a matter of record.
Okay.
Well, or anybody at all?
I do.
All right. Yes, sir.
A couple of them, I guess. I'd like to, although I appreciate the work done on, and it's a shame I didn't go through this whole thing later, but I'd like to perhaps take out the identified project, the reconstruction estuary trail. Basically, it's on private, it's a public property, but it hasn't been vetted yet. If we could leave that in as a general terminology in some way, and then after it's approved, I'm not saying that it may not be approved, but I don't want to have it set in here where I'm just foreseeing that they come and go ask for the money, and then here it is. it's already been pre-approved in a sense here. So,
so what item are you referring to specifically?
On the gravel project, just say you can say estuary trail.
Reconstruct estuary trail and expand for bike use. What do you want to say in place of that? Say it.
I'm trying to think of the correct, more correct.
How about more general terms? Estuary trail.
Estuary trail improvements, and that doesn't identify where it's
estuary going to go. Trail improvements. That doesn't take a genius to figure that out. That's okay. Great. All right, that's easy. What's next?
Well, in the, I guess this is general enough, South Beach evacuation enhancements. We haven't identified what they are yet. We can leave that in there. So the only other thing that the next thing would be in the room tax fund, the amount was $1 million. They were going to still have an unappropriated balance of $333,000. So I'll open that up for some other discussion. If I'm the only one, that I'll be amazed.
What's the problem with that?
Well, when it's it could be that the amount you want to allocate, although it probably would not be spent in this year because it would be held until these projects were, whoever it would be approved, would not maybe take place with this year, but potentially it could. I don't know what project, we don't know the project yet.
But so you as a member of the city council are going to have it on the table for you to make that decision at that level.
But yes, except that if we say, well, wait a minute, this project really deserves $800,000, we can't give it to them.
That's true, but we can come back next year and add it to it at that time. But is it foreseeable that we'll have a shift of $500,000 in the project?
Well, yes, it's potential. It may not go out, but I don't know what's the purpose of having it as a contingency. I guess that's unappropriated balance.
Yeah, it's sort of the unappropriated balance was made quite clear in that it's not the sky. It's the city manager and the finance director and the city council can determine how to use that money.
Not the unappropriated balance. You can't. You can't touch it until a year from now, or actually until next week, a whole other year.
Is that put aside for for that purpose then, to save it for the next year?
The specific purpose of anything that's all right appropriated is that it's not.
Does anybody have any objection to that at all?
I just have a quick follow-up. Was that discussed last week as far as why that was put aside in unappropriated versus contingency? I wasn't here. Was that a topic of discussion?
And I was talking to Tim at the moment that came out, so I'm not apologize for that. I'm not sure what.
I guess I'm just curious. I mean, I'm not saying it should or shouldn't be put in there, but is there a reason why that $1 million was split up into one-third of it being kept in unappropriated for no use next year and two-thirds put into contingency for the use that I think we're going to have to determine a procedure, obviously, to use that money? But was that just kind of to put some away for next year so we didn't spend it all or have the potential of spending it all this next year?
The handout I gave you on the room tax, the last two pages that we didn't discuss, one is $1,046,000 in contingency. That's the fifth page. The fourth page is the split of roughly $667,333 or whatever it is. When Jim and I talked about it, we said, and again, this may be too conservative or not conservative enough, I don't know, that to release $1 million that had been held for a great period of time as available for immediate expenditure, we thought was kind of rushing. So we chose to do this, which was two-thirds and one-third. The mayor called me this week, and I'm sorry, I didn't know he wasn't going to be here tonight, which is one reason he didn't really go on to this. He asked that the $1 million be shown explicitly, and as part of volume three, I've done that. That's your page five in that new tax handout. However, and I had already done that when I realized that only the budget committee can direct that. And he wasn't really directing me to, but he just said, let's just show the $1 million, and then the 2% contingency show otherwise. And so that's what I've done. However, that isn't at the direction of any individual. And so whether you would like them to make the $1 million available, and the only contingency amount being the $46,000 of required contingency, we can certainly do that. We didn't rush into it because we thought it was a little precipitous, and that $600,000 would probably be adequate for anything we want to spend this year, and all of a sudden it's next year, it's July 1st, 2012, and the remaining amount would then be available. However, sort of your direction on what you want to do with that contingency. But that was the rationale.
So we come back to you, Mr. What would you like to do?
Well, I think it's going to go through a fully vetted process, and the difficulty I would have leaving it was in an appropriated balance a year before that. So then we put it back into unappropriated, and it didn't get spent either way. I guess the nervousness is of maybe having that may go somewhere where you wouldn't want it to go is maybe something. I think also the mayor also was thinking about, as along with me, is whatever contingencies left over are from the fund balance of this year, if we have any at all, would we want a certain amount going into this fund that you have here, $1 million fund. But I would just as soon have it in a appropriated column.
So how much would you, the whole amount?
The whole amount. It doesn't mean you're going to spend it all, but it doesn't, that means you're not restricted.
I have a suggestion, Mr. Chair, that may kind of address your concerns, Jeff. I actually wouldn't mind having the mayor here when that decision is made, but on the other hand, since this isn't really changing the actual amounts in this room tax fund, but just the different line items, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, David, that if we go ahead and approve the budget with the unappropriated amount as is during the budget adoption process, we're going to have another public hearing on the budget, and the mayor will be there. And I think at that point, if we actually want to move that remaining balance into contingency, I don't think there's really anything that will prevent us from doing that during budget adoption. And at least at that point, we could discuss it as a council, which is really more of a policy decision, and we'll have the mayor there to weigh in and not have to worry about the budget committee to have to make that decision right now.
Very good.
That's a
great
suggestion. Good suggestion.
Let's do that then. Does that satisfy you? Fine. Very good.
So we're going to take it as 97A is the one that we're going with?
We're going with the...
What other discussion items do we have before we go to the process? Yes, sir.
I wasn't here last week. We had some all of us. I don't know what happened. But at the first budget committee, I recommended that we not cut one of the police positions. Is this the time to talk about that? Or was it put back in? Or is it out? Or
talk about it, yeah.
Okay. I would just like to see it go back in.
It is back in, right?
No. Where's the money coming from?
Yeah.
So I like to see it go back in.
So where are you going to get the money?
Where are you going to get the money for?
We have to cut it from someplace else. I don't have an answer.
You're supposed to have ideas.
It should probably come off the salary for the chief, don't you think, to buy a new car? That would be nice.
Easy.
Oh, the chief doesn't like that suggestion, does he?
I'm on the ward right now.
All right. Do we have any other discussion that's pertinent to the budget, or is this, yes, sir?
I'm just curious for clarification. The Budget Committee submitted a wish list. Did any of these items get in the budget? I guess I'll go back to one specific one. The fence on the west side of the Coast Guard property that is the precursor to allowing people to use that jetty access road.
That is not specifically identified in the CIP.
Yeah, I think you talked about that when he was on the hot seat.
Yeah, and I didn't quite understand. I knew that it wasn't actually budgeted item in your list of projects.
Are you suggesting
I'm wondering if maybe we could include it as a project in, I think, room tax. The room tax fund was talked about several times when our Bayfront Association spoke about it. I know, Jim, you were there at one of the meetings in the Bayfront, where we talked about that as being a source. And there is some additional monies that are available from that fund. If we wish to access them, it seems like $15,000 would be a relatively small amount to perform that project, and it's a project that was probably started in 2001, and there's been a lot of efforts made to move forward with that project, and we've finally gotten to the point where the Allied project, the Natterman Drive project, is about to be completed. And the Jetty Trail was a adjunct to that project, which we hoped would be done concurrent with the Natterman project. And I would just like to make a motion that we consider taking $15,000 from the appropriate room tax category to fund that specific project.
Well, another point would be that that jetty trail, I don't believe, could be used without having that fence. Isn't that correct? Because you have to separate.
That is correct. The Coast Guard would require you to have a fence.
Yeah. So that fence stops, or the lack of that fence stops a lot of other things from happening.
How about maybe a suggestion for where the money might come from? Promotion item, I could go along with reducing the monies for potential grants for people coming up and asking for money by maybe $5,000, and then have another maybe $10,000 come from room tax, or maybe just $5,000, and then have $5,000. Hate to go $5,000 and get a raise from different sources, but pretend, you know, maybe the Coast Guard or contractors, or maybe somebody could volunteer some funds. And
have there a room tax? Isn't there some room tax money that's available for us to access at this time through this process?
Is there cash available?
Yeah,
there's cash. Is this a tourism type of thing?
It would be kind of nice as a tourism group.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
There's always cash. I don't know how to answer the question. $15,000 in cash in the room tax.
Isn't there an unbudgeted portion that you didn't see, or the unappropriated?
You had something, sir?
A big recommendation that you boost that to $20,000.
To cover?
Yeah, 15, it doesn't sound like it's going to cover that.
15 with contingency. Yeah. Contingency would be about $4,500 in there, is what I would recommend. So I just go to even 20. And it'll save us from having to review this whole process again. Like,
these are decisions that are made, though, by the city council, right?
I don't necessarily vet projects and put them on the CIP. These are recommendations from either department heads or master plans or some of the other things. And so I need direction to put a project on a CIP. And so I think the budget committee, that's your prerogative to make a recommendation of a project to be included on the CIP, which will then be approved by council at that time.
Right. And the proposal that we made at the bottom of the double asterisk, it says city staff to suggest actual dollars needed for the project. So this is a perfect example of that process moving forward.
It's just that if an estimate is 15, we need to have, especially where it hasn't even been designed or preliminary design yet.
That's fine. 20 is
whatever we lower.
That 15, I believe, came from our contracts.
Thumbnail sketch. Yeah.
Very good. Does that satisfy the issue?
Well, I guess other than the source of funds.
So you're adding $20,000 to the transfer to Parks and Rec funds?
It's capital for capital project.
Capital project.
Capital
project.
Might
be an appropriate way to fund that based upon.
I thought you were talking about this year. You're talking about next year. $20,000 to room tech expenditures for next year.
This is a project that happened after June
30th. You haven't. We haven't fully expended. And maybe there's not enough money left, but you haven't fully expended the budget for. Forget the name of the doggone thing. People come and add, you know, what's that called? Tourism grants. Thank you.
I mean, I believe that we will have an ending fund balance in the room tax fund that will carry it over to next year.
Right.
Given that some items like this transit thing of $90,000 has booked zero, then it will book sometime. I'm a little leery of saying there's going to be a whole lot, and I don't know how much, but I think we'll have, in addition to the $1 million, which is another issue entirely, I believe we will have some ending fund balance that will carry forward to next year in the room tax fund. I'd be conservative and say I don't think it'll be a whole lot. And the room tax fund for next year is quite tight. I mean, there's not a whole lot of maneuvering room in now because it's $224,000 less than this year's as far as the budget. So I think we want to look at that closely, but can the room tax fund be a source for such an activity? I'm assuming that it can.
Chuck, is there any kind of a proposal you want to make?
He's got a motion on the table.
Yeah.
Basically, he's already done.
I made a motion. It was just an issue.
Would you restate your motion, please?
I'd like to make a motion that we, based upon staff's recommendation, that the $20,000 be budgeted towards the construction of a fence on the west side of the Coast Guard property, that would allow public access to the bay and beach.
Do we have a second to
I'll
that
second
motion?
That motion.
We have a second to the motion. Any discussion?
I would like to just make sure we're all talking about a security fence for the Coast Guard, but that fence in and of itself does not guarantee access. It is one step in a long process of things that would potentially open up an area for public access.
Yeah, I think Jimmy made that point a couple of years in a row now, and what we have is some movement, some real strong movement.
I think it's great, but it's one step in a process. The fence in and of itself doesn't give us legal access yet.
But without it, you can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
We are in the process of negotiating the Coast Guard right now for any that use that area.
Hold it, just...
If you're looking at the tourism and the things with the discretionary fund that you see in there for 125, that's part of Destination Newport. So 200,000 is for marketing, but the other 125,000 that says discretionary is also part of that. It's just that the committee doesn't expend that with a contract manager. They use that for other funding they come before council to seek approval for. It's not leftover money for any use. It's earmarked.
So what you're saying is go ahead and build the fence, but don't say that's going to solve the problem because we've got other things to do.
It's step one.
That's fine. But you're saying building the fence is going to be a good step forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, that's fine.
You can't have a trail without the fence.
We have a motion on the table that's been seconded. All in favor?
Well, before I vote, I want to know where the money's coming out of, and it's coming out of the room tax fund. What specific line item in the room tax fund is it coming out of?
I just talked to David. We will include $20,000 in beginning fund balance where there is none now. We'll include an expenditure of $20,000, and we will not spend the money until we get all the paperwork, all the agreements, but at least if it's budgeted,
right,
then we can do it.
Okay.
Things fall through.
That makes sense.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, all in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Motion carries. Is there any further discussion before we get to the approval of the budget? I'd like to get this done tonight. Yes, ma'am.
The general parking fund?
Pardon?
Payment in lieu of general parking fund, has that been allocated yet? We talked about it.
The general parking fund.
We went through that long.
Derek said that he had sent something to David that was allocating it out between the three different areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I never saw that. So.
Well, I have the numbers. I just wonder if it's
do we need
to sell or not. Is that part of the budget? The memo that Derek sent?
I'm drawing a blank right now, unfortunately.
Do we need to do that in this budget year, or can that wait until next year? I'll ask that for Jim, since Derek's not here.
That can actually wait till next year, unless the projects that have been identified this year, you don't want to do them, or you want to scale back, and particularly the Nye Beach, if you think they're taking more than they should have, the overall pot of money in the parking fund, then you would want to scale that back. But right now, Derek says it's pretty close to the allocation, so he feels comfortable that if we move forward as in the proposed budget, it'll work. It'll just be that in future years, Nye Beach might not be able to tap into the parking fund.
Right? David?
I know, Linda, did that help?
Yeah,
I thought you had another question.
He said that the contributions have been well tracked since 2003, and that is $152,792. Of that, 24% is for Nye Beach, and that's over $36,000. The Bayfront is 66%, and City Center gets 10%.
Okay.
There's still an equal amount in the fund from before 2003. That has not been tracked.
So what's the question, I guess?
Can we use that $36,000 for Nye Beach?
How much was allocated? I didn't know. I remember what page it's on. I think you're close to what it was, but I think you...
I think we may have to do some modifying, or we're comfortable spending it all now.
Well, he's going to get it here. How much was it down?
The projects that we're talking about right now is Northwest 3rd and Northwest 6th Street sidewalk and bicycle improvements, which are basically in Nye Beach. And the street lighting on Northwest 3rd Street. And the total of those is $177,000. There's $81,500 coming out of the parking fund for the Northwest 3rd and Northwest 6th Street bicycle improvements. $14,000 coming out for the Northwest 3rd Street street lighting. And there's $6,600 coming out of general parking for 9th and Hubert Street parking lot improvement, which is the city center. Oh. And then there's an additional $3,500 coming out of the city center parking district for that same parking lot.
Oh, but that's a separate
city center.
Yeah.
City center
has
$15,000.
Sounds like you've got the money.
All right.
Yeah, I've got the money, so you're okay.
Okay. Very good.
$95,500 for the Nye Beach.
So that's what the SDC is.
It's part of 6th Street, isn't it, Nye Beach? Part of 6th Street.
So, we have, yes, David, you had something?
Yes. Well, I'm sorry, did you want to finish up? Was there something more, Linda?
No, I'm good, just as long as we know that money is available.
Okay. So, David, I'm getting back to the city attorney issue, and I'm not going to debate the amount, but I am actually looking at whether we want to put that amount under the mayor and city council account, because that really is also money that the city manager and others can utilize. And in the past, even when we have contracted out services, we've actually still had a separate city attorney account. Just to make it clear, it wasn't just within the purview of the council, but others to utilize. So I'm thinking we may want to, like in past years when we had outside counsel, shift the amount for the city attorney services from the mayor and city council, and just have it in the city attorney account so people are aware that money is being utilized for a city attorney, even though it's a contract basis.
And what cost center goes in this year is relatively unimportant, so, because the intent is to put the money that is realized, whether it's 75 or 150, and to put it in each of the departments next year.
So right.
Whether city council or city manager makes very
no, actually, I was thinking a city attorney. We actually have a city attorney account, and that actually is the most appropriate, or at least in the past we've utilized that. So.
Well, that to me is a cost center to be closed down.
Okay. I was just going on past experience on the council. And just finally, before we vote on the budget, I wasn't part of the discussion last week with the water and wastewater funds other than earlier this evening, but when we get to the budget adoption process, I'm assuming we're going to actually have separate public hearings on the water and wastewater rate increases, which is required by state law, because I really want to talk about that 3% and 5% increase and really vet that more, because as with the stormwater fee, which we didn't implement this year, you know, whenever we're raising fees, I really want to have a good hearing on that and actually show the justification for doing it. And even though you can say we've always raised water and sewer rates every year by 3 or 5%, to me, we need to have a better reason for doing so. And even though I'm not disputing, we may have a good reason, I want to vet that thoroughly. So I'm going to approve the budget tonight. But I'm also going to say that before I adopt the budget, I want to have a full vetting of those water and sewer rate increases before I adopt the budget.
Very good. We have before us the proposed budget for the City of Newport fiscal year 2012, Volumes 1, Volumes 2, and Volume 3, with the voted and approved changes. It is time now to call for an approval of the adoption of the budget. And do I have a motion on the floor to adopt the budget?
So moved.
It has been moved that the budget for 2012 approve the budget and be approved. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Second, Fred Springsteen. It's come time now to approve, right? The budget. All in favor? Raise your hand, please. Show of hands. Is there anyone opposed? The budget has been unanimously approved. Well, final comments, anyone?
Robert, we have more to do.
Okay, what do we have to do now?
Get it out. We have to adopt the rate and also the levies for the bonded and other debts.
All right.
I'm just going to go by what we did last year, which was laid out pretty specifically. So
you have a motion?
Well, hold on a second. I want to make sure I got it in front of me.
We have a few other things to do. Okay, so two things we have to do. We approved the budget, but there's approval of the urban renewal budget as well as approval of the city budget because they are two separate budgets even though they're combined into one budget document. So even though we've approved the city budget, I think we still have to make a specific motion. Oh, is this the motion for?
Yeah, this was going to be the right one. So here was the permit.
Okay, well.
We want to use those numbers. And then okay. Here's the answers.
Right. So, hold on a second, folks. Okay, so we approved the city budget. I'm going to make another motion, which is a motion regarding the urban renewal agency budget. I'm going to move to approve the 2011-12 fiscal year budget and urban renewal budget, that is, and further move that we levy 100% of the tax increment for the South Beach Urban Renewal District.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to the motion to approve the urban renewal agency budget. All in favor, please raise your hands. It is carried unanimously.
And one further motion, Mr. Chair. This is in relation to the city budget that was just approved previously. I'm also going to move that we declare the permanent tax rate of $5.5938 and the estimated required property tax levy for water bonded debt of $120,000 and wastewater treatment plant bonded debt of $975,000 and water treatment bonded debt of $575,000.
Oh, you put that together in a hurry. That's clever.
Jim had it ready for it.
I'll second that motion.
It has been moved and seconded. All in favor, raise your hands. Everybody? Anyone opposed? It carries unanimously. Is there any other point of business? Have we done our job? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you what. These people on the budget committee and the city council is elected, of course, but they put their hands up for election and they went through the process and the budget committee members are appointed and they're all volunteers and I'll tell you, it's a real sign of accomplishment for the city of Newport. I want to thank everybody for their work tonight, and the last word will come to the city manager.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to the budget committee, and also that each year we're trying to do a better job. There's some good comments that I've written down for our next one. As I said last year, if you think of something between now and whenever, send us an email, and we can try to do that in the next year's budget. So that each year just gets better and better. So
well, we have a very user-friendly budget manager, and he's willing to sit there and take the barbs from the committee, but also willing to make changes if it's really necessary, and we thank you for that. Ladies and gentlemen, this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, and thank you very much for your leadership.
I appreciate
that. Thank you for all